Good morning from the Financial Times. Today is Wednesday, May 8th, and this is your FT News Briefing. The White House is banning two U.S. chipmakers from supplying a Chinese company, and Israel's move into Rafah could make the humanitarian crisis worse. Plus, global trade is back and better than ever. Well, better than the past several years, anyway. I'm Mark Filippino, and here's the news you need to start your day. Intel and Qualcomm will not be allowed to supply Huawei with semiconductors anymore. Sources told the FT that the Biden administration has revoked the export licenses for the two U.S. chipmakers. The U.S. government is concerned about national security issues posed by the Chinese telecoms giant. There are also security concerns about the Chinese social media app TikTok, so much so that the U.S. government wants to ban the platform unless its parent company ByteDance sells off that part of the business. And yesterday, TikTok said it filed a lawsuit against the U.S. government. In the suit, the social media giant says that the law is unconstitutional and violates free speech rights. Israel has threatened to expand its military operation in Rafah. Tanks first entered the city in Gaza late on Monday night, and the Israeli military took control of the border crossing there. Israel says that going into the city is necessary to achieving its goals in its war against Hamas. I'm joined now by the FT's Middle East editor, Andrew England, to talk about the situation. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Mark.
Okay, can you give us some details about what's happening on the ground in Rafah?
What we know so far is that Israel's announced that it sent ground troops into the eastern area of Rafah near the Egyptian border. Rafah is the southern city in Gaza where about more than 1 million Palestinians have taken refuge during the seven-month war in Gaza. They're saying it's a limited operation. It's not a full-scale ground offensive on Rafah, but it's caused panic. Israel's told at least 100,000 people to move from that area, but aid agencies warn that there is nowhere safe, essentially, in Gaza, and that there's not sufficient supplies, shelter, etc. And they've warned that this could create an even worse humanitarian crisis than Gaza has been enduring for the past 7 months.
Yeah, and I can only imagine that makes negotiations over a ceasefire all the more urgent. Talks there have been ongoing for months. What's been happening over the past few days?
Well, Hamas on Monday surprised many by saying it had approved a draft proposal for a hostage deal that would lead to an initial 6-week pause in hostilities and the release of more than 30 Israeli hostages. That would then be followed by a second phase, which would lead to what mediators call a sustainable calm in Gaza, which they would hope would end the conflict. Now, Israel has said what Hamas has apparently agreed to deviates significantly from what Israel had previously deemed to be acceptable, and Israel launched its ground offensive in the eastern edge of Rafah shortly after that. At the same time, Israel has sent a delegation of negotiators back to Cairo to continue talks, but it's going to take a massive effort to get a deal over the line. There is zero trust between them, so to actually get both to agree on a deal is going to be a massive challenge.
Andrew England is the FT's Middle East editor. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you.
Reddit released its first quarterly earnings report since going public. The social media group reported yesterday that its revenues beat Wall Street expectations and rose 48%. Investors loved that and upvoted the share price as much as 16% in after-hours trading. Reddit expects the good times to keep on rolling. Its revenue estimates for this quarter were also above analyst estimates. The company's net losses did jump about $500 million compared with the same quarter last year, but Reddit execs said that it was, quote, driven by IPO expenses. Global trade is making a comeback. Growth is set to almost double this year from 2023. Still, it might not all be smooth sailing. Here to talk to me about global trade is the FT's Sam Fleming. Hey, Sam.
Hi, Mark.
So, Sam, just run us through some of the high-level figures here. What are we expecting from global trade in the next, I don't know, year or two?
So we're seeing signs that things are beginning to improve. We obviously had the very steep decline in 2020 because of the lockdowns and the pandemic, a very sharp rebound. And then last year, 2023, global trade growth in services and goods, as we're talking about volumes of trade, was up around 1%, so fairly slow. The OECD is now forecasting that we'll see an acceleration to 2.3% in 2024, the current year, and then 3.3% in 25. So a relatively healthy improvement in trade.
And what's driving this?
A lot of it is the cyclical story. It's a slightly stronger picture for the global economy. Nothing stellar, but a slight improvement in global economic growth. Very much the U.S. economic story, which is very strong indeed, is helping to drive demand around the world. And we're also seeing signs that some of the measures being taken by the Chinese government are helping to prop up that economy. Strong performance by Asia, in particular East Asia. That's a big driver in terms of the OECD's forecast for stronger trade growth this year and next.
All right, so this all sounds great, but is there anything that could rain on this parade?
Well, I suppose the themes that we've been writing an awful lot about are trade barriers, interruptions to global trade. Overall, we're seeing fragmentation, signs of different blocks, geopolitically aligned blocks beginning to form, and that resulting in trade barriers going up. The other point, I think, is that the broader economic outlook, even if this is, as I said, firm growth in 24, is for relatively slow growth over the longer term through the rest of the decade compared with relatively recent history.
Mm. Sam, I want to focus on something that you just mentioned now, and that is realignment. And the reason I bring it up is because after the pandemic, a lot of people were talking about the end of globalization. It was the end of globalization. And now it sounds like maybe it's not the end of globalization, but maybe more about realignment.
I think that's it. I mean, one way of looking at this is the ratio of world trade to global GDP, and that is around 57%, at least forecast over the next 5 years. That is broadly in line with recent history. So you're not seeing a big cratering in trade activity. So it's more, as you alluded to, a question of realignment between trading blocks, which there is tentative sign of, and not necessarily a sense that trade is dramatically cratering anyway or reducing. I think if you talk about the notion of deglobalization, which is a far more dramatic notion in terms of the trade picture, that will be clearly exaggerating where we are. It's more a realignment than a deglobalization as such.
Sam Fleming is the FT's economics editor. Thank you, Sam.
Pleasure.
You can read more on all of these stories at FT.com for free when you click the links in our show notes. This has been your daily FT News Briefing. Make sure you check back tomorrow for the latest business news.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.